Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 3 John. Tonight is study number 5, and we're going to be reading from 3 John verses 4 through 6. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. And I'll stop reading there. And once again, we see in verse 4 the emphasis on truth as the elder, the Apostle John, is moved by God to write, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And we were discussing this in our last study, how the elder represents God, and God rejoices, the kingdom of heaven rejoices over one sinner that repenteth. And when an individual is walking in the truth of the word of God, then that is indication, it is strong evidence that that person has been granted repentance by the Lord. And so, once again, we see how supremely important it is to know the truth and to walk in it. Truth is the pathway that we are given to follow. There's no other option for traveling the narrow way which leads to the kingdom of heaven except to follow the truth of the Bible. Is it a pleasant walk as we travel this road in this world? No, not at all. It can be very lonely. It's a narrow way. It's not the broad way that most people follow. If you want a good deal of company, well, then you're on the wrong path. You have to get over to the broad way. If you want a road that leads to heaven, that's easy to traverse, you can walk down its streets, even though it's many people traveling the same way, and yet it's not really cumbersome. You're not crunched at all because it's so wide and easy to walk. There's a great deal of room. It allows for every religion in the world. It permits every philosophy. It sanctions every crazy idea of man as far as the meaning of life. It would allow for all sorts of things to enter into that path, and all are going smoothly and easily along. All are headed for the same direction. We'll all get to heaven. We'll all finally be there. Let's just go this way and not worry about these details that are in the Bible, such as these doctrines. Their doctrine causes contention, and doctrine brings about division. No, we'll just concentrate on the important things, that Christ is Savior, or that God is God, and no matter what we think of that God, he's a God of love. Let's just focus on that and not worry about these other things. Well, you can then have a great deal of company, a lot of fellowship, you'll have many brethren. People will love you, and you can love them, of course, in their definition of love, and you can feel very comfortable as you go through this life. Guaranteed, for certain, you will get to heaven. All the religions will assure you of that, and many of their adherents will confirm it. These things are so. Don't worry about anything else. Well, yeah, if you want to go that way, you won't have affliction. You won't have much tribulation before you enter into the kingdom of heaven. You'll be able to have a flowery bed of ease, and everything will seemingly be rosy as you go that route. However, the Bible does not lie to people like people lie to people, and religions and false gospels lie to people. The Bible tells us the truth. It's a painful truth, and it's not an easy thing to hear, yet God doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't try to cover it up. He doesn't try to flatter us and to tell us smooth things and things that we want to hear. He tells us the facts, and he tells us that in the world you will have tribulation. And not only that, but he's revealed to us who live at the end of time that we will experience great tribulation. More than that, since the great tribulation period has come and gone, God is now revealing through his word that we will be severely tested and tried with a fiery trial of faith. Unpleasant, certainly. It will not be something easy to go through. It will be something that can trouble us greatly, that we may shed many tears, and we may feel sorrowful at times as we go through these days of the day of judgment. It will be difficult. And so God would have us to gird up our loins like men. Of course, he's speaking to women too. That is to gird up our loins like a true man, like a true child of God, whether we're male or female, and to trust him and to walk by faith through this period of time, casting our cares upon him, being anxious for nothing. And yes, it will mean going to him constantly in prayer, beseeching him for strength, that he might strengthen us in our inner man to live each day, to take up our cross and to follow him, and to patiently wait, knowing that God is true and faithful, and he will fulfill everything that his word says. Even though we cannot see how possibly at this point he may do it, yet trust him, rely on him, and look always to him. Don't look to the condition of the world. Don't look to the condition of the church. Don't look at any man, but look to the word of God and look to God himself. He will bring us through. And there will be an end. There most certainly is an end of all things to this world. The Bible guarantees that. The Word of God assures us of it. And so we can know this absolutely, that God will finally conclude all things related to this world and then bring about the new heaven and new earth. And therefore, since this is our great expectation, that we look beyond this life, we're not limited just to however things turn out in this world. By God's grace and mercy, by his wonderful salvation plan and the salvation that he has bestowed upon each one of his elect, we have an expectation that exceeds and goes beyond and transcends the things of this world. This is why, you know, we're no different in that sense. God's people all through time have looked forward to the things to come. And this is why the Lord moved the Apostle Paul to write in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's see, beginning in verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is nothing more. If it lasted 100 years, and it won't, but if it did, if it lasted our whole lifetime long from the moment we were born, it would be nothing more than a light affliction enduring but a moment. And this moment will pass. And the affliction, which is extremely light, will pass. And we will finally enter into the joy of our Lord and into the kingdom of heaven, where we will be given a new resurrected body to match the new eternal soul that God has already granted us. We'll be one whole personality in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore, and we will turn our attention away from this world, from sinful things, from corruptible things, and we will focus on the incorruptible and eternal and immortal being of God himself, and that which he has created, which will last forever. And we will look into that which is in front of us, eternity future, and we will forget those things which are behind. But let's say we could remember this life after this day has come, and after we have finally entered into glory and our bodies have been transformed, and in that transformation they have been completely healed, completely made new. No more aches, no more pains, no more diseases, no more corruption, no more possibility of death, and therefore the sorrows of this world are all gone, and the tears are done flowing. There will never be another tear, another reason to have a tear, as God heals us in every way possible. And now all we know is peace and joy and health of body and soul and things that are good, as God is good and the world, the new world, is good. And we have been made good. There's no more sin within us. And our brethren are all good, all the creatures that God will create to inhabit that new creation, whatever type of creatures they are good. All the angels of God are good. There's no more impurity, no more filthiness and vileness, no more works of the flesh, therefore no more lies and deceitfulness, no more murder and stealing, and on, all the things that are sinful, that basically comprise the makeup of this world, are all gone. These things are forever forgotten and removed from us, never to be brought to mind again, and everything good, the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord works out within his people, now have taken their place. Can you imagine? Everything is now something that is good, something that is right and just. Every judgment is proper and full of justice. There is no wrong judgment any longer. No one is perverting the word of God or twisting the scripture. No one is coming to a wrong conclusion, a false doctrine, or developing a false gospel. No one is speaking lies and saying that they come from God. No, everything is pure and holy and perfectly in line with everything that God is. Everywhere you look, it is the beautiful condition of heaven, where there is no sin in man, in the new man, and no sin in the creatures and the angels and God himself. And the creation is not polluted or corrupted by sin in any way. This is what we have to look forward to. And so there we are. We've entered into eternity future, into the glorious kingdom of heaven. And now, hell, if we could remember, and if you could look back, wouldn't it be the slightest thing? Yes, all these years. I know it seems long now. I know they seem trying now. I know they seem very grievous now. But in the twinkle of an eye, and as soon as Christ comes, that's how the Bible says he will, in the twinkle of an eye, as soon as that twinkle comes about, so what? So what if you shed tears for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years? So what if you have a backache and your knees ache and you're aging and you're nearing death? And you're just sickly. So what if no one appreciates you and no one thinks of you and no one was that kind to you or caring about you? And perhaps it's been that way for a long time. So what about all these things if you suffer them all together and you have no money and your house, if you have a house, is not very big and you don't have very nice furniture, and on and on and on, pile it all together, and let's say you're the lowest of the low, you're the outscouring of the earth, you're the beggar, you're Lazarus, and you have absolutely nothing but salvation. And then finally that salvation comes, and the salvation of your body, the salvation of an eternal life finally is here in reality. And you look back. Now, are you going to weep to God? Are you going to complain into eternity future about how grievous your puny little 70 or 80 year period of misery on earth was? Or are you going to look at anything, no matter how long you suffered in the confines of time, and in comparison with eternal glory and eternal bliss and eternal abundant rich blessings of God being poured out upon you, will you think actually that they're anything more than the dung, and but this, it only occurred in the slightest moment, if you could remember. And you know as well as I do, you won't even think about them at all. Of course, God won't let us, but if you could, it wouldn't deserve to be compared. It's not worthy, is what the Bible says. There is no comparison, because these things are so slight, and these days are so minuscule in time when compared to eternal things. And that is where our focus really needs to be. And of course, that's not, I know it's easy to say, and we often get our eyes off of Christ and we put them on these little things of this world, and we trouble ourselves and we worry like Martha, and we have all sorts of anxious thoughts about this and about that, and God would just have us to look to him and look to his word. And we can trust that word. Yes, believe him. Believe the word of God, and continue. You may have for quite a while, but therefore just continue to lay your life down on Christ and on His Word. And certainly it is the wisest and the best possible thing that you or I or anyone could ever do, is to wait on God, because He will bring it to fruition. He will bring these things to pass. It's just a very simple thing that God says, and yet it is so true when He says in Revelation chapter 21 in verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." True and faithful. The things that God just said, they shall come to pass. He says the same or similar things in Revelation 22. I'll start reading in verse 1. "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And He said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. These things are faithful and true, and they will shortly be done. And the next verse in Revelation 22:7 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And this is our expectation, that God will fulfill His word, keep His promise, and He will do all these things that He has said He will do. And so we wait. And yes, again, it is a time of great trial of faith, but God has also assured us there has no temptation. Let me read this verse, because we've been talking a lot about temptation. And we're people, and therefore we're weak, and we tend to think that we cannot endure these kinds of things, and we'll certainly fail. Yet here's what God says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "There has no temptation taken you." Now understand the word temptation here to be testing. "There has no test or testing taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that you're able, but will, with the temptation or the test, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Here, God is letting us know, yes, you will be tested, and especially it is my plan, we know from other places, to test all during the time of the day of judgment, that this day will make manifest, it will prove who are gold, silver, and precious stones, and who are wood, hay, stubble. But rest easy, because I will make a way for you to escape. And in that, I will make a way for you to bear this faithfully, where you will continue in a proper and right relationship with me. Now, to say that another way, that you may be able to bear it, is that you will be able to endure it. As Matthew 24 says, that at the time of the end, here it says in Matthew 24, in verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, that's not saying that if you're able to somehow, with your own strength and last ounce of courage, hold on and endure with all of your might, that you'll be saved. But it is saying that if you are saved, if God has already granted you his grace, that you will endure to the end. Those that are saved are given endurance. God will make sure that we bear these things, and so on a daily basis. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We shouldn't think of years to come all at once. We only have to live a single day at a time. Sufficient unto this day is the evil thereof. God will help us to bear these things and to take up our cross and follow him.